Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
This Odyssey Sports broadcast has been presented by Health Markets. Shop for health insurance your way.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
Gone! A home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Furnier.
Well, an absolute beatdown in Cincinnati. Royals win 13-1. They take the series and put themselves in great position to finish off a three-game sweep of the below 500 Reds. Put themselves in a great position heading into tomorrow's finale with Brady Singer on the hill. Because take a look at that Cincinnati bullpen. Six relievers needed to get through these nine innings. Nine innings could have been shortened to about three. This game has been all but over for the past 2 hours. Royals win 13-1. Here's the phone number for you. I have a lot to get to, but I want to get to you first. Phone lines are open, and again, new station, new phone number. 913-586-7965. Royals now 2-0 so far on the crystal clear airwaves of 96.5 The Fan. A perfect 2-0 in Cincinnati, and they go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon. Again, right here on 96.5 The Fan. So the phones are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. Now, I understand, as Jake just mentioned, the headliner tonight is Dairon Blanco. Dairon, who, keep in mind, hasn't made a start in almost 2 weeks. Dairon Blanco, who, this always surprises people, understandably so, with the way that he runs, with the energy that he brings. Dairon Blanco's 31 years old. So for him to have a career night like this is even more improbable than you thought. Making his first start in almost 2 weeks. He drives in seven. He connects on his first multi-homer game of his career. Those seven RBI give him 33 for his career. Almost a quarter of his career RBI came in this game tonight. So no doubt about it, Dairon Blanco is the headliner. The horse of this game, the stallion of this game, was Michael Wacha. Six innings of shutout baseball. Third time this season we've seen Michael Wacha spin at least six innings of shutout baseball. Wacha's now 10-6, and he just continues to deliver. You dive into the numbers, and Wacha's exposing himself to be one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball over the past 3 months. Again, the phone lines, 913-586-7965. The headliner's Dairon. The horse is Wacha. But my focus tonight, and listen, you can take the show where you want it to go so long as it pertains to Royals baseball, but I do want your answer to this. Because my focus tonight was on Freddie Fermin. 1-for-4 with 3 runs scored. And I went on and on earlier today on the On Deck show about how Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi can't do it all when you're facing the best of the best. I wasn't talking about Cincinnati. But when you have a 4-game series against Cleveland starting up a week from Monday, you're going to need contributions elsewhere in the lineup. Now, I'm not concerned at all about the offense, so long as the rotation remains elite. The offense continue to do what it's been doing, and this team can find itself in the postseason. But once you get to the postseason, you're going to need someone to come alongside Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi and help out in the fight. So as I'm focusing on Freddie Fermin tonight, and I see Hunter Renfro with a multi-hit game, Mikel Garcia with a multi-hit game. My question for you is this. Big spot, big game, big moment. If it's not Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, who do you want at the dish? 913-586-7965. Because I think the answer is Freddie Fermin. And for as much as I laud Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, Freddie Fermin's consistency isn't far off the pace, my friends. I mean, since the start of May, Freddie Fermin's hitting .320 with an OPS of .820. So go where you want. I'm just interested, if it's not one of the big three in a big spot, who do you want at the dish? All right, let's head to the phone calls. Yes, indeed. 913-586-7965. Let's start off in Overland Park. Jason, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Josh. Love the show. I love that you asked this question because I've been thinking about this for a while, and I definitely think it's a Freddie Fermin as well. So my question is, and I feel like I'm a little late with this, I know Coach Cotrero's been kind of messing around with, like, the leadoff spot while Mikel was in a slump for a little bit, but I know he's getting back on it. But switching with, like, Mikel and Frazier and Michael Massey, I was just curious why Freddie Fermin never kind of got a chance to lead off. I was just curious what your thoughts were, because he's batting, like, .300. I think he has a good sample size. So I was just curious what your thoughts were.
Yeah, no doubt he has a good sample size. He's putting together an outstanding season. For the year, Freddie's hitting .304 with an OPS north of .780. You stack Freddie Fermin up against the rest of catchers in Major League Baseball. Now, Freddie's coming up on 250 at-bats. There's no one else in the game with as many plate appearances as Freddie that's hitting .300 like he is. You want to throw the power numbers and the on-base numbers in there as well? As far as guys with as many plate appearances as Freddie Fermin, there's only four guys with better numbers behind the dish than Freddie. William Contreras with the Brewers, Salvi, of course, Connor Wong of the Boston Red Sox, and the other Contreras, Wilson Contreras. So three All-Stars and Connor Wong. Those are the only catchers right now in the game putting up better numbers than Freddie Fermin. So I'm with you in that Freddie's the answer to my question of who do you want at the dish if it's not your big three. And I don't believe there are bad ideas when we're brainstorming about who can help this team the most in the leadoff spot. You know, Freddie's name was brought up on the postgame show last night. The reason why, in my opinion, you give a Mikel, Massey, Frazier the opportunity before you go to Freddie is the speed aspect. Hitting in front of Bobby Witt Jr., you want someone that's going to be able to break off a quality first to third. Freddie's an outstanding base runner, no doubt about it. But just not as fleet of foot as a Mikel, even as a veteran like Adam Frazier is. Appreciate the phone call, Jason. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. Raj, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. What's happening?
Hey, Vern, you're batting 1,000 on saying 96.5 tonight. You're doing a great job. Stay with
it. I'm focused, man. I'm focused.
I don't want to jinx you. Hey, I'm really I'm loving the Royals' hot bats all the way around. Vern, before I ask you another question, tell me what Paul DeJong looks like playing for us right now, because I can't see it.
9 starts, 10 hits, 6 runs scored, 6 runs driven in, hitting just below .300 so far. Playing a solid third base as well. Solid. He's not Mikel Garcia, but I think he's better than Nick Lofton at third base.
Sounds great. Well, hey, I'll be real quick tonight. Next two games, Josh, we're on a good little roll right now. Next two games, Brady on a day game, just like he had in Boston, and let it slip away a little bit. But Monday's game with Lugo, he's going against the Angels. Not a very good ball club.
Right.
A guy 0-4, I think, is what I saw on the projected starters. Vern, and I just want your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. I think his arm's tired. I really do.
Maybe. Yeah.
Do you think skipping a start, I mean, if you look at what we've got to win coming up, these two wins we just got are huge on a numbers game.
Yep.
Is that an option? I just hope Q, who has been pushing all the right buttons, is creative. And if he needs to skip a start, or maybe
they could do it. Yeah, certainly okay, they can do it if it. Yeah, it's they can do it if needed. But to me, the drop off is so substantial. I don't know if it's worth it.
Gosh, Vern, his last, I think it's six starts.
Well, here's the thing, Raj. If it is fatigue, if he's fading, this team's not going anywhere anyway. So either he figures it out and fights until the end of the season because everyone's grinding right now. It's not just the Royals starters that have blown past their career high in innings pitched. It's everyone in the game. Seth Lugo has
Very
to push
true.
Through because I don't believe this team has enough to offset any regression from him.
I'm loving Waka right now. I'm telling you, when he got hurt, I knew it was a big deal because I didn't think he'd hit his I didn't think he hit his jet stream yet. Like, he was really rolling when he got hurt there and they hurt his foot.
Yeah.
But, gosh, man, I'm really liking Waka right now. It really gives me a lot of hope for the next, 39 games, Vern?
You got it right. Yeah, you know that's right, Vern.
I appreciate your baseball knowledge, Vern. You know that. You're a great listener.
Well, I appreciate it, and I got to correct something that I said. I said I don't think this team has enough to offset any regression from Seth Lugo. That's not the case. Some regression, fine. I don't expect him to have the low 2 ERA that he had for most of the season. Sure, that can continue to balloon, and it has. I'm talking about regression from all-star form. Okay, maybe Seth Lugo isn't going to be the Cy Young candidate down the stretch, but I still need him good. I need him very good down the stretch. Honestly, I believe he still needs to lead the league in innings pitched. So I need him to be a horse down the stretch, because if he's just a good pitcher rather than an all-star pitcher, boy, now we're really starting to put some pressure on those other pieces in the lineup. Really starting to put some pressure on those relievers, not named Lucas Ursig. Don't get me wrong, there's going to be plenty of pressure on those guys come October. But in order to get to October, I feel a lot better about putting that pressure on Seth Lugo's shoulders more so than I do the complimentary pieces in the bullpen and the complimentary pieces in the lineup. So, of course, this team can withstand some regression from Lugo. Not a lot, though. Raj, I appreciate the phone call, and you're 100% right about Michael Waka. You dive into the numbers of when he was on the IL. This Royals rotation had an ERA near 6. He comes back, and that ERA returns to its elite status. Waka tonight lowered his ERA to 3.33. Lowered the Royals rotation's ERA to 3.59. That's third best in Major League Baseball. Waka's ERA is top 20. As a matter of fact, the Royals have 4 of the top 20 ERAs in Major League Baseball. Waka's 17th lowest, Singer 16th, Reagan's top 12, Lugo top 8. That's an elite rotation. That's the type of rotation that says, get on my back, I'm carrying you to October. Sure, I need the MVP to be the MVP, I need Salvi and Vinny to be clutch, but with an elite rotation like that, you don't need much else. But if that rotation doesn't remain elite over these final 39 games, who's going to pick it up? Who's going to offset that regression? The complementary pieces in the bullpen alongside Lucas Ursig? The complementary pieces in the lineup alongside Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby? You tell me. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Chase and Shawnee. Chase, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan.
Vern, thanks for taking my call again. Nice talking with you. You know, I want to take it back to Brandon. Do you remember the crazy train? These boys are playing good ball right now.
I do.
Fired up. You know, we need to bring the crazy train back. And I want you to harp on that, about we're never going under 500. Yep. We're going to the playoffs. And I want to hear you tell us you believe we can win a World Series.
I've said that before, Chase. I'll say it again, though. I think I just kind of laid it out right there. Thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, and if you don't know what he's talking about with the crazy train, that dates back to, what, mid-April? Mid-April when the Royals were just climbing above 500, getting the city, not even getting the city excited, getting the die-hard Royals fans excited. Only those that are living and dying with this team were getting hype in early April as the boys found themselves above 500. And I think it was at the end of that Houston series, right? Royals swept the Astros at Kauffman Stadium, improved their record to 9-4. And I think we had a few callers. Brandon led the charge. Maybe Chase piled on afterward. Came on the postgame show and said, Vern, this team will not fall below 500 ever again. The days of being a losing team in Kansas City are over. At least in 2024, they're over.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
And here we are, 4 months later, still haven't been below 500. As a matter of fact, the Royals are now 13 games above 500. And what do you know? Cleveland lost again. The Milwaukee Brewers, a team that the Royals have taken a series from, they have now taken a series from the Cleveland Guardians and look to sweep Cleveland out of the Brew City tomorrow afternoon. So that means the Royals are now just 4 games back of the division-leading Cleveland Guardians. Do I believe the Royals can win the World Series? Of course. Because if you can make it to October, you can win a World Series. Every team, all 12 that make it, have a chance. Because all it takes is a starter, a reliever, a couple of bats to have the best month of their life. And anybody, I mean, they're all good. All the teams that make it have exceptional talent. Maybe not the 1 through 26 talent that we see in Philadelphia or Baltimore, but they have talent. They have a few pitchers that can team up and carry a team through a few series. They have a few bats that can put the squad on their back and lead them to a dub. All you need to do is remember 2014, 2015. Now, Mike Moustakas, a lot of you wanted him run out of town. And he's a hero. He's a hero in 2014. I mean, he matched Willie Mays for postseason home runs in a run back in 2014. So just get there, clear the slate, and yeah, I'd be more than comfortable going to battle with Reagans, Waka, Lugo, Singer, and the threat of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi every few innings. Royals beat down the Reds tonight 13-1. They get on the board in the first inning, put two more on the board in the second, and then drop a 7th spot on the Reds in the third and make this one a laugher. Let's head up to the Northland. Mike, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. What's happening, Mike?
Good evening, sir. Love the new signal, by the way.
Yeah, having a good time with it.
Hey, I saw something tonight that I hadn't seen all year long, and maybe you can expand on this if you noticed it as well. Typically when a pitcher uses the pitch comm instead of the catcher using the pitch comm, you'll see, well, you know, Walker was doing that first three, four innings. He had it there on the side of his belt. And then I think in the fifth and the sixth, Freddie was using the pitch comm to call the pitches. Is that unusual for them to go back and forth?
Not with him, not with Lugo. They both are really, hey, you know, we'll feel this out as the game is going. If you get the feel, I'll let you drive. You know, Zach Greinke's the only one I remember using it and not having that volley back and forth as the game goes on. Greinke was always in control. Normally the catcher's always in control. Lugo and Waka are the first two that I've been around that kind of balance it both ways.
Yeah, I had never seen that until tonight. I know, you know, when Salvi catches, he's in control of the pitch comm the entire night. And Freddie, to a certain extent as well.
Sure.
But this, you know, the first time, and you know, I've probably watched 100 of the games, 110 of the games so far this year on the app. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. And maybe I'm not crazy. Maybe that they do go back and forth between Freddie and Waka, and maybe Freddie and Lugo as well.
Well, let me tell you this, Mike, and let me get your thoughts on this. Wouldn't you assume that a guy like Michael Waka, Seth Lugo, that these guys are, you know, a bit more cerebral than your average starting pitcher, and when they give the control to Freddie midway through the game and they say, you know, you know what I have tonight, you lead the way, man, that's got to continue to fill the young backstop up with confidence moving forward that you know is going to come up big in September as they make this playoff push, the confidence that Waka and Lugo are instilling in a young catcher like Freddie Fermin.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And you know, I'm old enough to remember the teams of the late 70s with Dennis Leonard and Larry Gura and Splittorff and them guys.
Sure.
And you've come through the decades and you've got your power pitchers and then you have your feel pitchers. And, you know, if your field pitchers, you know, Greg Maddux comes to mind immediately of somebody that's a field pitcher that just lives on the corners and breaking stuff. And you know, is a sinker on? Is the slider on?
Right.
And I think
Waka had some power tonight.
He
was pumping 95, 96 past dudes. He's normally, yeah, the changeup leading the way, going off of solid fastball command. But, man, his stuff was powerful tonight.
Well, it's exciting to know that pitching is the currency of baseball, and the Royals have finally went to the bank and got some pitching.
Yeah, well said, Mike.
Appreciate the show, you guys, and let's go Royals. Let's go beat them. Let's go get a spot in the playoffs.
Heck yeah.
We need it.
Why not? Why not?
All right, bud.
Let's
Thank
track
you.
Down Cleveland. Four games back in the American League Central. Michael Waka tonight picks up his 10th win of the season. He's 6-0 in his last eight starts with an ERA of 2.42 across his last 15 starts. That ERA, 2.42 in his last 15, that's top three in Major League Baseball. Guys, that's more than 3 months. It's like Paul Skeens, that young kid in Milwaukee whose name's escaping me right now. And then Michael Waka. Again, one of the three best pitchers when you're looking at ERA, one of the three best pitchers over the past 3.5 months. Royals dominate the Reds tonight, 13-1, the final score. We'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass, to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
First pitch. And Blanco drills it high in the air, straight away center field. Friedel turns the numbers onto the track, up against the fence. It's gone! Right onto the grass berm over the 404 mark. And Dairon Blanco delivers a two-run homer in the top of the second inning.
Light work for Dairon Blanco because in the very next inning, he would connect on his first career grand slam. A two-run homer for Dairon in the second, a grand slam in the third, an RBI single in the fourth. That's what you call a career night. Dairon Blanco, 3-for-5, two runs scored, seven RBI as he single-handedly beats the Cincinnati Reds. Michael Wacha's offense contributed as well. The offense outside of Dyrone Blanco drives in six runs. 13-1, the Royals take care of Cincy, and they go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon, 12:40 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 11:30 right here on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. And don't forget, I'll have your chance to win two tickets to Friday's game against Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies. Your chance to win 1 hour before first pitch each and every game day right here on 96.5 The Fan. Phone lines are open for you. My question for you tonight is, outside of the big three bats, outside of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, big spot, big game late in the season, who do you want at the dish? Because again, while Dyrone Blanco is the headliner tonight and Michael Wacha was the horse, my focus was on Freddie Fermin, watching his plate appearances. A leadoff double in the second. A bases loaded RBI walk in the third. A leadoff walk in the fourth. Reaches on an error in the fifth. Comes to the dish six times, doesn't punch out once. It's just not very often I remember Freddie punching out in a big spot. I think Freddie Fermin's the answer. I think that's the guy I want up. Honestly, I think Freddie Fermin is the fourth best bat in this lineup. How far can they go with that? Because that means Freddie must be in the lineup every single day. Fermin has now hit safely in 17 of his last 19 games. All right, let's go to you. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. Let's go to Shane. Shane was one of the 35,000 in attendance. Shane, what's going on?
Vern, how are you? Living large.
I'm great. Bud. How are you?
100%. I think you hit the nail on the head with Fermin. We watched him warm up. We watched him warm up Wacha. His approach to the game is incredible. I just watched everything he was doing, just the little tiny things, getting ready to receive the ball to throw down. Everything about it is just really – I'm so impressed with this kid. But we watched – we're on our stadium tour. Two or three times a year we go to a different ballpark. And nice. And I have to say that we have to we're still, voting for the downtown stadium because these stadiums are just incredible and the buzz around the stadiums is incredible.
Is that right?
But watching all of the crooked numbers tonight from the scoring to the at the plate, most of these guys are hitting, multiple hits. The Cincy fans were great for the first two innings and then they started getting a little chippy with us.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, if we're not thinking right now about taking the division,
right,
not hoping we can get this wild card, if we're not thinking bigger, we got some serious rethinking to do because I think these guys are poised. I think Cleveland's getting ready to fizzle out, and then it's just going to come down to us and the Twins.
I'm with you. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, Shane. I'm glad you had a good time. Are you going to the game tomorrow, too? Oh, I think he left us. Either way, Shane, I appreciate you dialing us up, man. And don't forget, you can always catch the post-game show wherever you are in the world. Just download the Odyssey app. And if you're in the 610 Sports Radio listening area and the 96.5 The Fan listening area, you can listen to Royals games right there on the Odyssey app. All right, 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. A few things from what Shane had to say there. Yeah, what you observed from Freddie Fermin, didn't it look like a guy that learned at the foot of Salvador Perez? And that's what, that work that you witnessed, Shane, that's what had me fall in baseball love with Freddie Fermin about 4 years ago. During spring training, 3 or 4 years ago, whatever the lockout happened, And I was watching just a bunch of minor leaguers. The way that Freddie bounced around spring training, the way that he picked up every single pitcher that he worked with for a bullpen, for a side session, for a sim game, it didn't matter. Freddie made that dude on the hill feel as if he's Bob Gibson, Juan Marichal. The way that he would pick these kids up, kids, sometimes they were older than him. The way that he would pick these pitchers up, man, it was just so impressive. He was such an energy giver, just so positive. I never thought he would turn into this. I thought he was a great guy, a great player, a great worker to have in your organization to show, see, that's what we want. That's a Royals player. So for him to get here, to become a 300 hitter, an 800 OPS at the highest level. Now, the Royals always talk about, you know, the Alex Gordon pregame routine, the way that he would shag fly balls as if it was game day. You know, they pop in that tape and they show every prospect. That's how you work. Watch what Gordo did. Man, Freddie Fermin's got to have a tape too. There's got to be something on Freddie Fermin that they show those prospects of. No one heard of this kid. And look at him now. One of the 5-10 best catchers in the sport. And yeah, you talk about the crooked numbers, Shane. Four different Royals with multiple hits tonight. Mikel, Vinny, Renfro. Renfro, by the way, snapping an 0-4-26. Yeah, Mikel, Vinny, Renfro, and of course, Dairon Blanco. Blanco 3-for-5 as he drives in 7 runs. Let's hear what Vinny Pasquantino had to say after the game. Vinny, 3-for-5 himself. He only drove in 1 run, though. Vinny now with 89 RBIs. That's top 5 in Major League Baseball. Vinny on pace for well over 100 RBI this season. Vinny ranks 5th in baseball. Bobby, 3rd most RBIs in baseball. Salvi, top 12 in RBIs in baseball. It's one heck of a trio, my friends. It's a big 3. Let's hear from the big lefty, Vinny Pasquantino, on Bally Sports, Kansas City.
What he did tonight was like unbelievably impressive for a guy like in the role that he's in, to be able to step in there tonight and do that. Crazy impressive. 7 RBIs. I mean, he won us a game tonight. Incredible performance by him. I don't think anybody could be happier for him than this team. That was incredible.
What was it like when he said he changed the bats after he got his first couple?
Yeah, that was stupid. I can't believe he did that. Don't you agree, Mikey? Yeah. You get a few hits and you change your bat. I get that you're he changed it because of the pitch shape of the next pitcher, but come on, Blanco, you got to use the same bat. I like the process thinking though. I mean, I like the thinking like that. But when a bat's hot, you use it. You don't shy away from it. But I guess he didn't want to break it either. So I get it. Don't like it, but I get it. I want to see a 3rd homer. You know,
exactly. Well, yeah. He's not going to use it. You're going to pick it up and use it.
No, I like mine. I'm going to stick with mine. But yeah, wanted a 3rd one there for him.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned you guys are on this playoff push. It's going to take multiple guys to do something and step up to get where you guys want to go. How big is it to just have a guy like Blanco, who's used as a pinch runner, but you know he won you this one, like you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, that's how the good teams do it. As much as we rely on Bobby. Yeah, what did he only have 1 hit tonight? Is that right? Like, world's falling down, you know. Like, but Dairon Blanco had 3 hits and 2 homers. So I think 3 hits, right?
Yeah.
Bobby took a night off, which was nice. He still had a productive night, but in his terms, took a night off. So, yeah, I mean, that's what good teams do. They rely on the whole team, and everybody here knows their role. And Blanco filled in, did his job tonight. It was incredible, and you know, we need more of that if we want to get where we want to go.
Oh man, Vinny makes me smile. I'll tell you what, Bobby, by the way, doubled, scored, walked. Vinny Pasquantino, 3-for-5, his 9th 3-game hit, his 9th 3-hit game of the season.
Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least four shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
That makes more sense. Vinny's now hitting .318 since the All-Star break with an OPS of .812 since the start of June. Giving Dyrone a hard time for changing bats. I respect it. I understand exactly what Vinny's talking about. I can't understand using a different bat. You're 2-for-2 with two bombs and six stakes and you're switching out your lumber? Come on. All right, Royals have won 9 of 12 on the road. We go to Richard in Shawnee. Richard, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad. Good win. I have a question for you. In honor of Blanco's surprisingly great performance, in your recent memory, what's your favorite kind of random breakout game like we saw from Blanco tonight? Other than Blanco's, obviously.
Yeah. The first one that comes to my mind is Brooks Pounders. I remember him picking up a win and his dad crying in the stands. And I remember that was a really rough night. I believe there was like a shooting somewhere where a police officer got shot. It was just a rough night for the country. So to see Brooks Pounders' dad crying in his big league debut, he picked up a win. I don't know if he's been in the big league since. That game always jumps out to me. And then, of course, the big league debut of Eric Skoglund. I wasn't expecting anything from that dude. And then he carved up Miguel Cabrera and the Tigers. I think that was in 2016. I think the Brooks Pounders game was like in 2018. So, yeah, those are the two names that stand out to me.
All right, Vern. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling up. I'm trying to think of a position player that had a... I remember the Nori Aoki weekend set against the Chicago White Sox. I think it was a three-game series, and he had like 10 hits. But Nori Aoki won a pennant with the Royals in 2014. A random big offensive night. But, man, I don't want to put, and this is no disrespect to Brooks Pounders or Eric Skoglund, but I really don't want to put Dyrone Blanco in that same breath. You know, Blanco's not making his big league debut. This isn't a one-off. This is a guy that's been here all season long, hasn't played much, but boy, when given the opportunity, the dude has pounced. Now, credit to him. That is not easy. It's not easy to stay ready. It's also not easy to be that guy inside the clubhouse. The guy that hardly plays, that, yes, steals pivotal bags all across the schedule. But a guy that isn't always in the center of the celebration, isn't always key to the win. And when you have solid showings, when your name's in the lineup, you might start to dig yourself a little bit and say, hey, put me in the lineup a little bit more. You know, I'm watching this outfielder struggle, that outfielder struggle. Give me some time. Start pouting. Start detracting from the team. Hasn't happened with Dyrone. Now, credit to him. Dyrone Blanco, homers in the second, homers in the third. Royals have now homered in 19 of the last 20 games. Let's go to Brian in Topeka. Brian, you're next up. I'm 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, this is Brian, man. Hey, wanted to share with you, alongside Bobby, our MVP is definitely Freddie Fermin because he allows the Royals to have flexibility. He allows the pitching staff to develop chemistry. I think it's all about chemistry. You don't see any 8-game losing streaks this year. They're usually snapped back after two. Tough outings. Freddie makes it also. I think Salvi probably loves him to death. Yes. Because in the past, we had one Cam Gallagher behind Salvi, which didn't turn out to be such a good move. And, you know, Fermi's out there. He's given it his all. He's 100%. He's personable. He's what a ball player should be. And I think he rubs off on the entire team.
That's so very well said, Brian. I appreciate the phone call. I'll be honest with you, though. When you started that phone call and said, next to Bobby, Freddie Fermin's the MVP of this team, man, I wanted to jump down your throat. But then age and experience and maturation has calmed me and led me say, eh, let's hear him out. I was going to scream at you and go, are you kidding me? Now, what about Salvi? What about Lugo? What about Reagans? Get rid. But, Brian, you make a lot of sense. Because it takes me back to a conversation I had with Freddie back in spring training. You talk about the chemistry. Freddie's message throughout spring training was, for 2.5 hours, we need to be one. One team, one thought, one heartbeat, one all that stuff. And it took me back to my days in Wisconsin covering the Green Bay Packers when they went to the Super Bowl. And I remember Charles Woodson gave a speech before they went to the Super Bowl, after they won the NFC. And that was his message. You know, for the next 2 weeks, we need to be one. One brain, one heart, one focus, one mind. That's what Freddie was preaching in spring training. Now, we could go all our separate ways after the game, but for those 2.5 hours, we need to be a family. We need to be one. And I mentioned earlier the way that Freddie picks up his battery mates, his teammates. So I'm with you, Brian. And the flexibility that you reference, you're dead on. You know, the way that it's allowed Salvi, in my opinion, to thrive at the age of 33, because it allows Salvi to acknowledge that kid's good. Freddie gives us a chance to win when he's in the lineup. All right, if that means I need to DH more, if I need to play some first base, fine, so be it. Get him in the lineup. Now, you made a strong case, Brian. I'm going to let it stand on its own. If people want to disagree, they can. I'm not going to do it. I think you made, I thought you made great points. I really appreciate that phone call. 913-586-7965. Again, the Royals are perfect 2-0 this season when on Crystal Clear FM. The new home of Royals baseball is 96.5 The Fan. All right, let me go to the phone calls now. Again, 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. Let's go to Todd in the 573. Todd, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
You're doing a great job calling your call signs.
Right. I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
You're doing really good. Yeah, goodness gracious. I thought I was going to say something special or nice or interesting or different, but I agree with everything that everyone's called in about. Discussion that you threw out there. My personal view, Vern, is that Salvi is the king Mufasa. Salvi, that it's where it all, it circles and it swarms around him, despite how great, you know, Bobby is and Vinny is and even Matt Quatrero and all the pitching staff. I think Salvi is our king daddy, bro.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, he is the captain. His number will be retired. He's going to wear a Royals cap when and if he's inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Listen, Todd, I appreciate the phone call. No one's going to argue that this is Salvi's team. I mean, nobody inside that clubhouse is going to fight you on that. Nobody in that organization. That's why they put the C on his chest. Salvi has a hit in 9 of his last 10 games. And tonight he picked up the first inning RBI. Right, Royals go up 1-0 in the first inning. It's Salvi's 25th go-ahead RBI this season, second only to Aaron Judge. Yeah, that's it. In all of Major League Baseball, only Aaron Judge has put his team ahead more often than the great Salvador Perez. Royals win 13-1. If you're on hold, stay there. Quick timeout. Quick 90-second timeout. We're back with more of your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Air deep to left field. Steer turns around, watches it fly. It's Tyrone Blanco's first career grand slam. He breaks the ball game open. A two-run homer in the second, and now a grand slam in the third. And the Royals lead 9-0 in Cincinnati.
Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan, your new home for Royals baseball. Royals win 13-1. Rally Mantis is on the text line clamoring for Tyrone Blanco to win the American League MVP. Well, Rally Mantis, let's just focus on Bobby Witt Jr. getting that done. Bobby tonight 1-for-4 with a run scored. His 106th run scored, most in Major League Baseball. And he's on pace to break the single season franchise record for runs scored. It's a record that has stood for almost a quarter century. My game notes following this 12-run victory are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jays Southland Tow. Yeah, no doubt. The headliner tonight, Tyrone Blanco, 7 RBI out of the 9th spot in the lineup. And as Sarah Langs of MLB points out, MLB.com, Sarah points out that Blanco's 7 RBI are the second most out of the number 9 spot in a game in more than 100 years. Since the RBI became an official stat in 1920, there's only one player in baseball history that has driven in more runs out of the 9 spot, and that happened back in 1966. Wow. Let's go to Batman in Kansas City. Batman, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Batman, are you there? Someone's got to put out the bat signal, apparently. Text line is open for you as well, 913-586-7965. Let's take a look at the text line. I see Ryan from Olathe says, Vern, Tyrone Blanco's night is most people's week. Good for him. You got to be happy for a guy like Tyrone Blanco. Again, a 31-year-old like Tyrone Blanco, who tonight accounted for more than 20% of his career RBIs. Very happy for him. God knows he works for it. Scott out in Phoenix writes in on the text line, great seeing Blanco have a career night, but mark my words, if Vinny keeps this up, there will be no stopping this team. Vern, you cannot put a price on the kind of protection behind Bobby in the lineup that Vinny is providing. Let's sweep him tomorrow, signed Scott in Phoenix. Hey, you're not going to get an argument from me. Royals on pace to win 90 games this season. Tonight's win evens up their road record. They're now 30-30 on the road. Yeah, a 500 road record for the first time since late May. Last time the Royals were at 500 away from Kauffman Stadium is when they were 14-14, approaching the end of the season's second month. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, pal.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, great night for Blanco, driven 7 RBIs, yeah. And Walker, a performance by him. I'll be in my Special Olympics team. Will be there next Friday cheering him on. And my brother John kept asking me, well, when we met last year, where was he? I told him we were at Craft and Draft, so now you moved your downstairs. So I'm going to try to look for you. I asked one of the ladies, Josh, and they told me that you're at Rivals, but I have to catch the escalator.
Well, here's the thing, Dan, here's the thing. I appreciate it. We'll put him on hold, and if we can, James, I'm not sure if you know exactly, but Dan, I'll get in contact with you. Shoot me a text. I'll let you know exactly where I'm at. I would love to see you and the gang coming up next Friday at Kauffman Stadium. That's a big one, too, right? I mean, that's the Phillies in town. That's going to be, I believe, Christopher Sanchez for the Phillies, who tonight threw a complete game, and he's going to be going up against Michael Wacha. That's going to be an outstanding matchup, not to mention Bobby Witt and Trey Turner, Salvi and Bryce Harper. I can't wait to see you, Dan. We'll get that figured out. I'll be sure to run you down coming up at the K. Royals are now four games back of Cleveland and now have their sights set on a series sweep of the Cleveland Guardians. Okay, we have Batman. Yeah, I do. I want to hear what Batman had to say. He was waiting on hold long enough. I don't want to make it all for naught. Batman, what do you have to say, bud?
Can you hear me, Burn?
Yeah, I got you. What do you think?
Oh, well, you know what? This is exactly what you've been preaching this whole year. You started out just like everybody else, not knowing exactly what to think was going to come about this team. But we're getting to see it form right in front of our eyes. And all I can tell you about this pitching staff is solid on this team, and you know it is. And I think it's the good play is being contagious in both the hitting and the pitching. And we're improving on every one of the series that we're encountering right now. We're not going in there shy. We're going out there and jumping on their other pitches right away and playing ball with them. You know, I'm kind of celebrating. It's the bat birthday tomorrow. And, you know, I can't ask for anything more than a sweep. But, I mean, you know, this series is very important, and we got to go. We do the one game at a time. But when we play this interdivisional play with Cleveland and the Twinkies, we definitely have to be ready to do it. And the team right now looks like it's ready. And you answered your own question to begin with. I believe Freddie Fermin is number four. But I sure would like to see Blanco get another time at bat. And other than that, I'm celebrating with you, Vernon. And it's a happy me, happy bat birthday. And go, Royals. Let's get to the playoffs, my brother. It's
no
all.
Doubt.
Thank you.
Yeah,
buddy.
Happy bat birthday to you and yours, Batman. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, listen, maybe Dyrone's back in there tomorrow. The Royals are facing another lefty. Why not? Following this 12-run victory, the Royals' run differential balloons to north of 100, plus 102 this season, the Royals' run differential. They're one of only five teams in Major League Baseball with a triple-digit run differential. As a matter of fact, that plus 102, it's good for fourth best in baseball. The Yankees are the only American League team with a better run differential than your Kansas City Royals, who have now won 18 straight games when allowing fewer than five runs. That's not a big ask, is it? It doesn't feel like a big ask. Hey, pitching staff, hold the opponent below five runs, because when you do that, we're darn near unbeatable. Royals this season, when holding the opposition below five runs, they're 64-16. You want to tell me this rotation isn't elite? If it remains elite over the final 39 games, well, Kansas City, you're heading back to the postseason. But first things first, facing a lefty tomorrow, Brady Singer and Andrew Abbott squaring off in the finale as the boys go for the sweep. It's a 12:40 first pitch, and I'm on the air with the On Deck Show and your chance to win tickets to that Friday night game at Kauffman Stadium. I'm on the air at 11:30 in the morning, right here on your new home for Royals baseball, Chiefs football, K-State, Mizzou. It's 96.5 The Fan. Thanks to James Howell for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow. Royals, 13 games above 500 after a 12-run victory. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, Kansas City. Take care.
Been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field, his second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.